This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Last week, in an interview on All Things Considered, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed sharply criticized the Fulton County government for its handling of the chronic overcrowding at the county jail. The county's been under a consent decree from federal judge Marvin Shoup since 2006. John Eaves is the chairman of the Fulton County Commission. Mr. Eaves, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much, Dennis, for having me.
I want to start with something the mayor said. And he was talking about the consent decree and the way the county has responded to it ever since 2006. And here's what he had to say.
Fulton County's had an overcrowding problem that they haven't dealt with. That's why they're still under Judge Shoup's consent order, right? And despite all of the things that Judge Shoup has said, nothing substantive has happened with the jailing problem at Fulton County. And it is weakening the metro.
2 points the mayor made. One, that the county has not done anything or hasn't done enough. Wanted to get you to respond to that first point first.
Well, the county has done quite a bit. We no longer have an overcrowding issue in the jail. We had about 4,000 people in our jail in about 15 years ago. We have increasingly put efforts in terms of diversion, in terms of accountability courts, and as a result of the diversion efforts, we have had the past 12 months about 2,300 people in our jail. So we are substantially under the 2,500 limit that the federal judge has imposed through the consent decree. And so we've done a great job in terms of addressing that issue.
But isn't it true that you still have inmates just because of the distribution of male versus female inmates and also because some of the cells can't be used because of the maintenance issues you have? You still have inmates sleeping on the floor.
We have, we had as of 2 weeks ago, about 15 female prisoners who are in boats, and that's the technical term that we is used within the
A little plastic.
Yeah, like a cot.
Like a cot, but they're on the floor, aren't they? And wouldn't the judge see it that way?
Yeah. I actually asked the jailer, I said, listen, we have 150 beds that are free in the jail right now. Why is it that you can't figure out how to reconfigure the bed assignment so that females can be in beds? And so we asked the jailer to call in the architect to figure out how the building can be reconfigured in terms of the assignment of beds. And so the number of beds that are free, about 150, and it's not because of any sort of maintenance issues. It's not because of the locks. It's not because of any sort of lacking of maintenance issues. It's because of the county's efforts on diversion and accountability courts.
The other point that we have heard a lot about from folks who are watching this closely has been staffing. There's been a struggle to meet the number of officers on the floor and in the cell block towers so that while you might have 100% staffing some of the time, you don't have it all of the time. And won't that affect whether you're able to meet the consent decree requirements?
Well, there certainly is a good faith effort to hit the 100% target, which to me is very difficult, and it may actually be unrealistic. Yes,
but it's what you agreed to.
It is something that was agreed upon in 2006. We are increasingly trying to hit that target, and so we're about 92% in terms of staffing. The problem or the challenge is unanticipated attrition. In other words, detention officers who are assuming this very high stressful job, they sometimes leave, and then we have to go through a process of screening and making sure folks meet certain criteria who are hired as new retention officers, and that takes time. We have streamlined the process. We've called for better collaboration between the Human Resources Department and the Sheriff's Department in terms of having an available pool of people available who have gone through the scrutiny. And so we are making strides, but I think that the 100% staffing, even though it was agreed upon in 2006, it's very challenging to reach that.
But will you go to the judge and say, hey, can you give us a break on that? And would you, or would you just expect that he would say, hey, look, you know, we've given you a lot of time here and that's the way it is?
I think that Judge Shoup has been fair with me. He's been honest with me in terms of, on the one hand, noting the areas that we have made great progress and improvement, particularly in the overcrowding issue, and also in terms of our efforts on diversion. And so I think there is a degree of open-mindedness in terms of at least us having the processes in place to ensure a desirable outcome. And I will offer that to him when I meet with him again. So even if...
When will that be?
We haven't set a time yet. The last time I met with Judge Shub, I think it was sometime in the early, latter part of last year. And so certainly we'll reach out to his office, hopefully within the next couple months, after we approve the GeoLocks contract and say, listen, these are the things that we've done in good faith. And yes, there may be some room that needs improvement that needs to be made, but we have made a good faith effort. Are we heading in the right direction in terms of getting out from underneath the consent decree?
Part of the problem that the mayor cited, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, dealt with the locks, that there are locks that simply are inadequate for what they're intended to be. When will you have a contract for them? And certainly the mayor was implying, shouldn't have this been done a long time ago?
Well, it's a long process in terms of making sure that locks were needed. I actually went down to the jail several times, and they are needed. There's some in shabby repair, in need of repair, shabby order. And so we got approval back in November of last year from the board to authorize the financing of new locks. And so we authorized up to $6 million. We've gone through the competitive bid process over the past couple months to have a vendor selected, and in mid-June, a recommendation would be made to the Board of Commissioners to decide on a vendor, and I'm confident that we will have the votes to pass it.
Have you counted noses? Because certainly, as has been noted often, this county commission often is unable to do anything because the votes just aren't there.
I have counted noses, and the same noses that voted back in November will vote again in June for the new locks.
The second part of what the mayor said was that we are seeing a lack of response to the county jail problem and that, therefore, it has weakened the metro. I wanted to get your response to part two of that.
That's not factually true. First of all, there are five jurisdictions within Metro Atlanta, five counties that have jails. Fulton County actually has the smallest of all the five jails. And we are concentrating on reducing our numbers, and we have done that. The mayor has cited, and rightfully so, that crime has gone down in the city of Atlanta. And that's partly due to the increased police presence and police officers maybe doing more effective approaches in terms of concentrating on certain neighborhoods. But the other half of the equation is the criminal justice piece. And so I think the credit should be given in terms of what we're doing on the criminal justice side, in terms of the adjudication of cases, in terms of incarcerating inmates, in terms of trying to marry up those who leave the criminal justice system, leave the jail, and provide and matched up with providers in the community. We're beginning to
do that. You're talking about diversion and accountability courts and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And then on the back end, a post-release, matching up or partnering up those who release with services in the community.
But is it making a difference in whether you see those people again? I want to play another portion of what the mayor had to say when he talked with us. And here's what he had to say about the release of inmates.
When we arrest individuals, they are frequently immediately released or released in a very short order, despite the fact that they have been arrested multiple times.
Is there a problem with folks who are released or go through the accountability courts, go through the diversion programs, and they just come back again?
There isn't a problem for those who go through the accountability courts. The recidivism rates are incredibly low for those who go through the accountability courts. The problem now is police officers are working very, very hard in terms of making arrests, deterring crime. But when an arresting officer makes the arrest and the offender is booked into the jail, and then they go through the arraignment process or the adjudication process, the arresting officer actually has to show up for the trial. Police officers who are working very, very hard, we got to figure out how we can get them into the courtroom when the case is being heard. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution last week ran a story where an incredible high number of cases are dismissed because police officers are not present.
So are you saying this is the city's problem?
It's everybody's problem. And so I just think that we just have to acknowledge that there are two sides of this criminal issue in terms of those who are being released and coming in and out. On the arresting end, we need to finish it. And finishing it means when there's a case, the arresting officer has to be present. And so the county certainly has its responsibility, but the city has a responsibility of showing up. And so, in fact, there were 1,800 cases that were dismissed last year.
On the accountability courts, do we have any hard and fast numbers right now that show, okay, there is a direct link between the accountability courts and the courts as a long-term solution for reducing the inmate population in the county jail?
Without question. There is a correlation between those who go through these specialized courts who have a specific issue that led to their criminal activity.
Like drugs, for instance.
Right. And addressing that issue with the judge assigning the individual to a substance abuse provider or for a mental health provider, there is a tremendous strong correlation between the two. And the evidence is the reduction, the incredible reduction of those who recidivate, in other words, those who recommit crime. Those courts have to be expanded in terms of volume. Those courts have to be expanded in terms of the type of specialized courts we need to have.
Well, you have the money for that, though.
We're challenged by that. But
you're under a freeze imposed by the legislature and the governor on your property tax collection.
We're challenged by that, but we have to figure out how we can make it work because this is certainly an evidence-based practice that's working. And so we want to expand a veterans court. We also are going to have a homeless court as well as what's called a nuisance court. These are people who are violating prostitution-type crimes. And so there's opportunity for that. We also got a federal grant from the government, U.S. government, 3 years ago called a Second Chance Act grant where we provide what's called in-penal services. So we have those who go through what's called a reentry court. And we have a judge who's assigned for these high-risk offenders, and they also are receiving treatment, help, and support within the jail. And the hope is when they're released that they will not recidivate and get back into the criminal justice system.
The hope is. But could you say to folks in the county that people who shouldn't be released aren't being released?
People who shouldn't be released are not being released.
Just to get the numbers down.
Right. Right. There's no evidence to support that. People who are being released are those who are post bond or post bail, but it's not because of any sort of crowding issues because the numbers don't bear that out. We have consistently the past 12 months been well beneath the 2,500 bid threshold.
Since the mayor had his interview with us, have you had a chance to talk to him about all this?
Well, first of all, Mayor Reed and I, we have a very, very cordial relationship. I have to remind people, him and others, that he actually attended my wedding 3 years ago and gave a toast. And I'm still married, so he did something good about it. And we see each other from time to time. In fact, I saw Mayor Reed at an event last week, and I said, listen, let's talk. And he said, sure. And we haven't met yet, but we have a cordial relationship. And, yes, we can, from a political standpoint, have a better relationship, but we have a very, very cordial personal relationship.
At what point do you expect to go back to Judge Shub and say, lift the consent decree? And what will you have to have in place in order to do that?
To me, the last hurdle is, real last substantive hurdle, is the jail locks issue. So that will be on our second board meeting agenda in June. And again, I've counted the noses, and the votes will be there. After that, sometime between that vote and the beginning of the installation process, I will go to the judge and ask for a release.
Will you have every I dotted and every T crossed from that consent decree before you go to the judge, or will you be saying to him, on some of these provisions, give us a break on them? You mentioned staffing.
Yeah, I will strive to cross every T and dot every I. But in reality, at least the staffing issue is somewhat of an elusive target. I can demonstrate to the judge that we have modified internal processes or streamlined the process to ensure that staffing is detention officers are hired and positions are filled. But it is very challenging to address an issue in terms of unanticipated attrition.
Would you be surprised, though, if the judge says, look, you know, you guys have been under this consent decree since 2006. You've had plenty of time to meet all of these requirements, and this was a crisis when the consent decree was signed. You need to meet everything we said.
Well, again, I inherited this problem, and I got elected in 2007. It's been a priority of mine. I know the progress that's been made. I know that there were almost 100 stipulations that were given, and we're down to about two. And so I think that there is certainly a case that can be made that we've met almost everything, and we've made a good faith effort to even try to address the remaining one or two. And I think that my hope, and I'm an optimist, I believe that the judge will err on the side of tremendous work has been done, progress has been made, and a good faith effort has been employed in terms of addressing that remaining issue, that's the staffing issue. And I'm hopeful that the judge will err on the side of the 99 that were done versus the one that wasn't done.
You've been in office, though, as long as the consent decree has been in effect, pretty much. What would you say to people who say, look, one of the reasons why the county is still under this consent decree is because of the internal dysfunction on the county commission, and on top of which were, at least in the view of some folks, delays, procrastination, in addition to the infighting on the commission?
Well, there has not been any procrastination. This has been a priority. It is a lot of heavy lifting, and there are differences of opinion. And in any sort of political setting, there's rarely 100% consensus on anything. And the fact is, yes, there has been some rancor. Yes, there has been some contention. But the fact is, progress is being made. And we're almost there. And this has been a priority. And this is a problem that I inherited. And so I wasn't a part of the reasons that led to the consent decree being made. But I have made it a priority to try to lift it. And so we're almost there. And yes, there is rightful criticism in terms of the amount of time. But having been there, rolled up my sleeves, got my hands dirty, and been a collaborator, it has been a tremendous effort to get to where we are today.